no water, all that work for nothing. If he just waited a little bit longer and hadn't blasted, we'd get the water.
When you were a boy, who did the lugging of the water? Could you tell me about that?
Oh, we all took turns lugging water, Henry's family. Everybody had his share of it. We lugged water all our lives. Usually when the wells went dry, you had to draw it in cans. We got our cold spring down to the sugar camp. It never went dry. We used to draw water from the cold, what we call the cold spring.
You ever used the gathering tank?
We used to. But it's more of a job to do that than it would be to haul it in cans.
Because I remember you told me you once lent it out and you had a problem.
Yeah.
Could you tell me that?
Yeah, a fellow was drawing water in the gathering tank and he slid it off and split the whole side of it. My brother worked on it about 2 days to fix it. And it's held for about 50 years. Because okay. You can put a limb to a barky horse, but it wouldn't mount too much on a tractor. But if you're going to production and get ahead, you've got to have machinery. You can't keep up with the towings with horses. You can't make money enough with horses to keep up with the towings.
After the war, you went to the agricultural school. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I went over to Thetford Agriculture School. And that was put out by the VA. Yeah, it went 4 years.
Did they emphasize and push the whole idea of having machinery?
Yeah, everything was machinery. And anybody that done anything with horses, it didn't mount too much.
Tell me about the piece of oats you planted and laid and the teacher who came over.
Oh, planted a piece of oats the 4th day of July and everybody said I was crazy. They got up to 5 feet high, and just as thick as they could stand. I didn't think I was quite so crazy then. I got a piece down the pasture that was planted the 4th day of July and they're 16 inches high now. But it's not practical to plant anything that late.
Hello, 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 hello. This is camera roll 93, sound roll 93. Exterior, Kenneth, August 12th, Silo Cinema in the Field, gathering hay.
Okay.
to your right.
Tail loading from on top. All tail slits.
Now.
Preceding was Kenneth putting hay. Walking into frame, putting it on the back of the truck and walking out of frame. Tail slit.
good?
No. That's all you were looking for.
That?
I say people find fault with the weather, but they shouldn't. Most always makes it come out about right. The first part of the season you couldn't hay, it rained every day, but it's give you some good weather since. I got most of my hay without getting it wet, so far. Too low, I guess, I got wet.
Are you religious, Kenneth? Tell me about religion.
No, no, I just live by the golden rule. You know what that is, don't you? Love thy neighbor, but leave his wife alone. No, I'm not too religious. Golden rule, good enough. I got that from my dad. I asked him how much religion he had, and he said he didn't have very much. He lived by the golden rule. And I said, what's that? And he says, love thy neighbor, but leave his wife alone. And I've always remembered that.
What's that you're drinking?
Coke. It's the best I can afford. It's the only thing I can drink now.
Never have beer?
Haven't drank any beer for 3 years. No whiskey for about as long as that. Can't even drink whiskey anymore.
Do you ever harden up a barrel of cider in the fall?
I used to. Used to always have a barrel of cider, but I can't drink that either. God damn it, you won't even touch them.
Mm-hmm.
Good for nothing. They were usually damn good.
94.
Was there black?
I wanted you to tell me about the dogs. The story you told me once about Jack and how you got him and you thought he'd been trained to fight. The story with the fellow in town that you told me the other day and the fight Jack had with him.
Oh, when I was telling you about the dog coming across the road?
Yeah.
That was over the Quint Corner.
Could you tell me that from the beginning?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have any dog. And one night, a bull used to go down to the water tub, and he'd stand down there, and he wouldn't come back. I'd always have to go after him in the wintertime. So I said, I wish to God I had a good dog. And 120 minutes before the little dog come up the side of me and lapped my hand, a little red collie. So I took him down and showed him the bull and told him to get him. He went right down and got the bull and brought him up the barn. Took him in the house and fed him. And they claimed that the people that owned him went to California, took the dog with them. And he come back from California alone. That was the story. And he stayed here with me. But he had one fault. He always had to go to town. Didn't make any difference. You wouldn't see Jack around nowhere when you started for town. But he'd come across the road ahead of you before you got in town. And get down there, and if he'd see a little spitz or anything, he hated them. And he'd grab them little spitz, and he'd shake them, and he'd kill them if they didn't take him off them. I pretty near got in trouble on that account. He hated little spitz dogs. And any big dog, he wouldn't fight with them unless they tried to fight with him. And then he must always come out top of the heat. And I think he was trained to fight. Because he always seemed to come out number one. And he stayed with me 8-9 years, and he got run over. Best dog I ever had.
And you've had a whole lot of them.
I used to raise collies. Yeah, I sometimes had 20 puppies here. And when I first started in, everybody would buy a dog, buy whole litters of them. And then the last end, nobody wanted a dog. Everybody had more dogs than they had money. So I ended up having 4 or 5 dogs left on my hands. So I went out of the dog business.
What did they used to sell for?
$10-$15, common dogs. They weren't registered dogs. Just common dogs. $15, $20. Some of them went to California, some of them went to New York State. All over the country, people come in here and buy collie dogs. And then they got where nobody bought any. I haven't had a dog for near 3 years.
Bravely. Jenny. We're just some kids out for some kicks.
Hi, sweet potato.
You know, it's funny is you never did tell me when you're going to Dallas.
It was a good time until they crossed the Macon County line. Macon County Line, a true story, rated R.
Now showing at theaters and drive-ins everywhere. Consult your local newspaper for the theater nearest you. WCAX-TV, Channel 3, Burlington, Vermont. Report from CBS News in Washington, where President Gerald R. Ford is about to address a joint session of the Congress. Now here is CBS News White House correspondent Dan Rather. Good evening. The scene is the Capitol of the United States. In the foreground, with the lights sticking out of the darkness, the House of Representatives. The President will be speaking from the chamber of the House. President Ford will deliver what is described as an address of unity and reconciliation. Incidentally, he took a swim and had dinner at his suburban Virginia home tonight before going to the White House and then to the Capitol. His special guests tonight in the House presidential box will be David and Julie Eisenhower and Mrs. Everett McKinley Dirksen, wife of the late Illinois senator. Members of the president's family, two of his sons and his daughter. Now approaching the House chamber, the president will be announced by doorkeeper William Fishbait Miller. Welcoming the president to this special joint session will be the Speaker of the House, Carl Albert of Oklahoma, and the President Pro Tem of the Senate, James Eastman of Mississippi. They will be seated directly behind the President during his address. The President at this moment is being held for just a few seconds in an area just outside the House chamber. A large attendance for this special session of the United States Congress this evening. William Fishbait Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
An enthusiastic standing ovation for President Gerald Ford, 38th President of the United States, who spent a quarter of a century serving in the House of Representatives from the district surrounding and including Grand Rapids, Michigan. President shaking hands with Speaker of the House, Carl Albert. Then with James Eastman, Senator from Mississippi, who is serving as present as the President Pro Tem of the Senate. Cheers for the President from the gallery and from the floor. Betty Ford and her daughter Susan. Perhaps you heard the president say we're wasting good TV time as he broke into that wide ear-to-ear smile that has become, in the few days since he took over as president, along with his striped tie, a trademark. Speaker Albert sounds a gavel, but the House and Senate members cheer again.
My colleagues of the Congress, I have the distinct privilege, the high personal honor,
And it is indeed a very personal pleasure to present to you the President of the United States. Mr. President, distinguished guests, and my very dear friends. My fellow Americans, we have a lot of work to do. My former colleagues, you and I have a lot of work to do. Let's get on with it. Needless to say, I'm deeply grateful for the wonderfully warm welcome. I can never express my gratitude adequately. I'm not here to make an inaugural address. The nation needs action, not words. Nor will this be a formal report of the State of the Union. God willing, I will have at least three more chances to do that. It's good to be back in the people's house. But this cannot be a real homecoming. Under the Constitution, I now belong to the executive branch. The Supreme Court has even ruled that I am the executive branch, head, heart, and hand. With due respect to the learned justices, and I greatly respect the judiciary, part of my heart will always be here on Capitol Hill. I know well the co-equal role of the Congress in our constitutional process. I love the House of Representatives. I revere the traditions of the Senate, despite my too short internship in that great body. As President, within the limits of basic principles, my motto towards my best efforts and also your best efforts. I have no need to learn how Congress speaks for the people. As President, I intend to listen. But I also intend to listen to the peoples themselves, all the people, as I promised last Friday. I want to be sure that we are all tuned in to the real voice of America. My administration starts off by seeking unity in diversity. My office door has always been open, and that is how it's going to be at the White House. Yes, congressmen will be welcome if you don't overdo it. The first seven words of the Constitution.